from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission. The
Score! They're going to come with Braden Narveson, and they're going to let him try a 59-yard field goal.
Okay.
Snap. Set.
Come on.
Kick. It's got the distance.
Go!
Go! Oh, 59 yards.
Oh, that was sweet.
Oh, my goodness. Did he pound that one?
That's my first hell yeah of preseason.
Oh, there will be many more, but not this week. No hell yeahs coming this week on Titans Radio. Never let it be said there isn't preseason excitement available with NFL football. Dave McGinnis is joining us, the Tennessee Titans radio analyst and former NFL coach, is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Coach Mack, how you been?
Hey, guys, I've been good. This brings back a lot of memories doing radio hits with The Score for my 10 years there in Chicago. Great to be on with you guys.
We love when you're on the show, Coach, because you always bring a lot of joy and a lot of knowledge to the listeners. So I'm going to jump right in. Well, when you look on the tape of what you saw from college and the preseason, what do you see when you see Caleb Williams?
No, I was very impressed. You know, I've been to every combine since they've had it there. I still do extensive work on the draft. I was very impressed, watching him coming out, what he's got. I mean, he's a superb athlete, but he's really, as far as a quarterback, he's innovative, he's creative. And the other thing is, when you look at quarterbacks, a lot of times you've got to see what they have surrounding him and his off-schedule plays that sometimes he was forced to make there at SC. A lot of guys can go off-schedule to throw, but this guy can be off-schedule and still be accurate. A lot of guys, as they start moving and move off of their original launch platform, lose a little bit of accuracy. This guy does none of it. I think he very well deserved the first pick in the draft. He's going to be an exciting, exciting quarterback in this league, I really feel like, for a long time to come.
So before your defense takes the field against a guy like that, how do you coach it? How do you say, hey, just because you flush him, you doesn't mean you've won this play yet, because until the whistle blows, you're in danger.
Yeah, well, all of my years of calling defenses in this league, when you've got a quarterback that can do that, I mean, you can't just have one rush pattern against him. That's extremely important. And then you've got to marry your rush and your coverage, because once you flush him, if you flush him without a real fish hook plan, then the problems that you have is playing plaster in the back end. And with the receivers that he's got available right now, that's a big challenge. So anytime you've got a quarterback that is able to escape but keep his eyes downfield, and as I said earlier, can be accurate on the move, then that puts stress on your defense. So you have to understand down and distance. You have to understand field position, and then when you're calling defenses against someone like this, you've got to vary up what you do, because you can't just present him one picture, because you start presenting him one picture, then he's probably going to hurt you.
You guys in Tennessee had last year a rookie quarterback trying to make things happen in Will Levis. He's still the QB of this team. Where do you think he got better?
Well, with Brian Callahan coming in here, I mean, he is, you know, all young quarterbacks coming in, they're going to have a lot to learn, because regardless of their skill ability, they've not seen what they're going to see presented week in and week out from NFL defenses. But, you know, what he worked on fundamentally was just, and most young quarterbacks have to do this, is work on being able to quiet their feet in the pocket, to be able to take what the defense gives you, to be able to know that accuracy and being able to manipulate the chains is just as important as going for the big play the majority of the time. You learn all of those things. And look, you can't manufacture experience in this league, and especially at that position. I mean, every play, really, seriously, once you get to the film with them, is a learning experience. And so, I mean, he was thrown into the fire last year with it, but with this offseason now with Brian Callahan and with his with this new system that he's in, and plus Rand Carthon has gotten him a lot of help as far as receivers around him also, he's developing. He's still a developing young quarterback, but he's a lot like the guy that you guys got there. He's blessed with a lot of natural arm talent, and that goes a long way in helping these young guys as they're learning the nuances of being a quarterback in the National Football League.
When you have young quarterbacks that will go through some of those struggles, and I love what you're saying about the experience of it, what's key to keep them on track and not get too down when they don't have success?
Yeah, well, then that's what you have to do. You've got to be sure that as I said, you talk about your feet being quiet in the pocket and being able to maintain that balance. You've also got to be able to maintain that balance mentally, because there's going to be ups and downs playing quarterback in this league, because you just all the defenses that you play week in and week out. I mean, their job. I've been a defensive coach in this league for a long time. You know, your primary job is to affect that quarterback. One way or the other, that's what you do. And so they've got to understand that you've got to be, resiliency is a huge, huge part of being able to master playing quarterback in this league. And the resiliency comes from being able to sometimes bounce back from something that happens, play to play, because you can't carry the negative with you, especially as a quarterback, because then that emanates throughout your huddle. It emanates throughout your sideline. So you just have a lot to learn. And the thing that you do need to learn, though, is a medium perspective that you've got to take on it every time you go out there. And it starts in practice, because you've got to practice, with a purpose, just like you're going to have to play. So all of that goes into it with a young quarterback.
So Jonathan Simmons now is making news, saying he's going to knock the nail polish off of Caleb Williams. And Caleb Williams is very clear about how he likes to paint his nails. And he thinks it's cool, and that's fine, and he's comfortable with it. And yet this gets down to that sort of the personal a bit. As a head coach, is this something in your players that you would discourage, that you would encourage, or neither?
Well, it's Jeffrey Simmons.
Excuse me.
You don't have to say. You don't have to say excuse me. That look, I've been on the radio long enough now to know we say a lot of things.
Live radio.
But yeah, but people know what we're saying. Yeah. I knew exactly what you're talking about. Look, Jeffrey Simmons. Let me just say this. Let me say this about that. The years I coached at the Bears with that defense, this would have been mild with the things they used to say about opponents. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's part of the give and take in this league, and I'm sure that all of that stuff. I never discouraged it as a defensive coach in this league, or as a when I was a head coach. I mean, everything takes care of itself once you step across that white line of the sideline, and so. All of this, anything that anybody says really doesn't have much of a bearing on the football game. We all know when it's decided, when it's kicked off.
Having to replace Derrick Henry is not easy, considering what he's meant to the Titans as a franchise. How will the Titans go about trying to do that?
Well, this is a different brand of offense now than anybody really, has experienced from the Oilers / Titans. to the time that, you know, that they've been here. I mean, you can start with Earl Campbell, you know, in Houston, then you go to Eddie George here, then you go to CJ2K and Chris Johnson, and then you go to Derrick Henry. So it's always been a one running back centric offense, much like, you know, we were with the Bears with Walter, you know, when I was there. Now, this is a different offense. It's a different form. You've got two running backs that have similar skill sets now. So it's really a different brand of offense than anybody here that has followed this franchise, both from, you know, the Oilers to the Titans, you know, have been used to. So, I mean, the entire offensive scheme has changed. And as I've been with I wasn't with Earl Campbell, but I was with Eddie George. I was with CJ2K here. I was here with Derrick Henry. Great backs. I think, you know, the time will tell that they were all really, really great backs. But this offense is an entirely different offense. And so they've got two very similar backs now. So that's how they're going to replace it, with a new scheme.
You mentioned Brian Callahan, and I didn't know until recently that Bill Callahan, his father, is the offensive line coach, and it has to make for a pretty interesting sideline dynamic. We know that father-son coaching is common in the NFL.
It's usually inverted.
And it's not necessarily that common to have the dad on the headset with you, and I'm interested to know how they plan on managing sort of the in-game relationship here.
Well, it's been great. Really, it's the first time in history that this has happened. And, you know, when Brian started interviewing for head coaching jobs, I mean, his dad, you know, I think was, you know, ever reluctant to, you know, to say that he would go with him. But when this one came up, and then he saw the opportunity, I mean, it's been great. Of course, Bill Callahan is the top tier of offensive line coaches. I've been around some great ones in my career. Started out with Dick Stanfield when I was on the staff with him there in Chicago, was here on the staff with Mike Munchak. Bill Callahan is really, I mean, he's right there at the top of any of them in this league, and everybody recognizes that. But, you know, but to be able to be in a unique situation where now you can be a major factor of helping your son in his first shot at being a head coach in this league, it's a really good story, but it's also a really great addition to your coaching staff.
Coach Mack, you know from being here in Chicago how starved people are to have a great quarterback. The excitement here is crazy with people wanting to see what this is going to look like. And it looks like the Bears, from my estimation, have done a really good job of giving Caleb Williams some weapons. You know, the Rome Odunze drafted him ninth, having Keenan Allen, one of the best technician wide receivers in the game, having DJ Moore out there. It seems like they've put together a really good squad around him. Can you even imagine like what it would be like if it turns out that he is a great quarterback for the Bears as a franchise?
Well, I can imagine. I lived it. I lived it there with Jimmy Mack. I know. I mean, look, Chicago, you know, people always ask me, Coach Mack, how was it? How were those 10 years you were there in Chicago? You know, especially when the Bears were really running hot. I said, it was football Camelot. That's one of the legacy franchises in the National Football League. And those are legacy fans. I mean, those tickets passed down and passed down. I'm very well aware of that. I've told people here, this is going to be an outstanding, outstanding atmosphere. As I said, I loved every minute that I coached there, but I also understand the passion. And you're right. I think that they've been looking for this type of an excitement from the quarterback position probably since Jimmy Mack. And so it's going to be very unique. And I know. I mean, I know it's going to be alumni weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of those guys. I do a television hit for the broadcast here on the field before the game. I'm looking forward to seeing all those guys. Tom Thayer told me that he's presenting the Hall of Fame ring for Steve McMichael, you know, to his family. I mean, Chicago Bears, when the Chicago Bears are rolling, guys, I lived it for 10 years. You guys have lived it. I mean, that's a fabulous, fabulous fan base. It's going to be all of that come Sunday.
Dave, I'm curious, too, from your perspective as a defensive coach like Matt Eberflus is, how far you want to take it in practice and how this week might be a little different, especially with a rookie quarterback, that I know that a defensive coach, you want to win every snap. You want your defense to win every possession. And you want to show this kid, you know, you're going to see stuff you've never seen before, young man, and here it comes. How hard do you coach your defense? How hard do you dial it up against him the week of the game?
Well, I mean, it's no different than anything else. Look, when you're preparing for quarterbacks in the National Football League, you've got to be on point every play. I coached defense in this league for a lot of years. You got to play the game. You got to be able to, especially a first ball game where neither team really knows quite what to expect because you got a lot of new on both sides. You've got to be able to accept the game as it comes. Try to dictate as much as you can, but you got to play within yourself again. You can't get over and above where the game is at the time, and so it's extremely important. They all know. I mean, these players across the league, they're intelligent. They watch tape. They know the challenge, but they also know the challenge of being able to play solid and also be able to communicate. Communication in the National Football League defensively is at a premium. And it's especially at a premium when you're just you're a new group coming together against basically a new group that you're going against. So it's that whole cat and mouse game that you have to play, and it really presents itself especially in a first ball game.
You mentioned Mongo, and he was one of the guys keeping guys off of your linebackers. What's this been like for you to see him? People recognize how great of a player he was and him getting the opportunity to go into the Hall of Fame.
God, it made my heart so happy. I mean, Ming was a dude. I've been fortunate to coach with some great defensive players in my 31-year coaching career in this league. But Steve McMichael and Dan Hampton, and believe me, Mike Singletary knew it too. I can remember going into the training room after every game and McMichael and Hampton to be sitting each on a different table in the training room with ice bags everywhere and every joint in their body smoking a cigar, and I'd walk in and just tell them thank you. And I can remember McMichael every time I did that, he said, "Yeah, you're welcome, rookie. You're building your career on our bodies. You're welcome." I mean, Ming was one of the best dudes in the history of the world, one of the smartest defensive tackles I've ever been around. If I ever, you know, from Mike Singletary, when I could talk to him during a game to find out what was going on up front from tackle to tackle, he was perfect. But if I really wanted to find out early on what was happening in that center guard triangle, Steve McMichael was a brilliant football player. I know the persona. I know everything about Ming the Merciless, about Mongo. But when you started talking ball with Steve McMichael, he was a master of the game. I was so happy. I mean, just there'll be a lump in my throat when he gets that ring presented to his family, because very deservedly so. There's more than a handful of guys on that team that I was associated with that are now in the Hall of Fame, plus two coaches with Coach Dicka and Coach Stanfield. Very well deserving. I mean, look, you talk about a bear through and through. That was Ming.
It's funny that I reacted and I heard myself laughing at the story. You know, Rook, you're building your career on our bodies. And I sort of laughed sardonically. And now I hear myself do it. And I think, you know, we see it now. It's literally true that he gave his physical being to the game of what he's done. And it does hit home. And there is that melancholy. There is, I think, for a lot of people when they see what he's fighting and the condition that he's in, and seeing this juxtaposed with the honor that the idea of sacrifice is really first and foremost for why people choose to do exactly what he said he was doing.
No, right. I mean, look, everybody that is in this business, you know, coaches and players, you've got to give yourself heart and soul to it, or you're not going to survive in it. We've got a player here that I coached when I was here, Tim Shaw, fighting the same battle. And Tim was in my linebacker room. you know, when he first came in here, and he's still at practice. He's still at practice, you know, and it's just, look, the bonds that you form in this league between player and coach, they get stronger as the years go on. And so I'm in touch, you know, quite a bit with Dan Pompey. And Dan Pompey, I know, was a huge proponent of with the Hall of Fame of Steve getting in there. I mean, it's so well deserved. And it just, as I said, there will be a lump in my throat at halftime because I'm going to pay attention to this ceremony at halftime because it means a lot to all of us that were involved with Steve McMichael and what he meant to the Chicago Bears and to the National Football League.
Coach, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Like I said, feels like old times being on the Score again.
That is Dave McGinnis on the Bernstein and Holmes show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I told you, like, we did the X and O stuff, and that's cool, but that's just football.
Now you ready for kickoff?
I've been ready.
I know.
And when Ray told us that Coach Mack was going to be on the show, I was like, giddy up, let's ride.
Next up, charge.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. Your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Charge. With Charge. Bernstein and Charge. Holmes on 670 The Score.
It is that time and it's real. Now, it is real. So, this is a countdown time. And we hear this is most seasons. Our friend Paul Charchian reminds us that this is a countdown of sorts. Charge joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. So the countdown is for how long we have to think that any fantasy team one has is good. Optimism has hours to live.
That's exactly right. We got like another 10 hours before dread starts setting in. And right now, everybody loves their team. Even though you're not able to draft like everybody you wanted, you've got enough good guys and we're all optimistic and everything. I'm in a dozen leagues. I think they're all good. But the reality is half of us are going to take an L in week one and we're going to sour on our teams and ourselves. And everybody's advice is always, well, don't panic. It's just one week. It's a small sample size. Don't draw too many conclusions. I say panic. If some of your core assumptions are resoundingly wrong in week one, they're probably going to stay wrong. It's not like coaches have the luxury of playing coy with their best weapons. They're like, oh, we're going to unfurl this great thing downstream later in October, November. We got to win now. Every game counts in the NFL. We only get 17 wins, 17 chances for wins. Everybody's playing to win. I say, react to what you see in week one. We're going to learn so much. And if some of your core assumptions are bad, let's move on those.
I don't know if I've ever heard anyone be like, you know what you should do? panic. But that's charge for you. When it comes to the rookie wide receivers, and specifically the wide receiver here in town, in Roma Dunze, what's your advice on that?
I'm starting him this week. I've got a starting grade on him as a flex wide receiver. So, you know, in fantasy, we've got like your starters and then your wide receivers you have to start. We got a flex level guy. Here's why. Titans secondary was garbage last year. They ranked 27th by Pro Football Focus. Now, they made one key acquisition to their secondary, L'Jarius Sneed. But L'Jarius Sneed's got bigger fish to fry than Roma Dunze. He's got to go get DJ Moore. He's got to maybe cover Keenan Allen a little bit if Keenan Allen's not in the slot where we'll typically find him. Roma Dunze is going to have far inferior coverage, and I like his opportunity against a legitimately bad secondary. Titans pass rush is also not great. So, yeah, I've got him in a couple leagues, and I'm starting him this week.
What about the other rookies?
Neighbors I like a lot, even more than a Dunze. He gets a Minnesota secondary that gave up the sixth most fantasy points last year, and the Vikings had to rebuild the cornerback position virtually from scratch. And all they got were a bunch of veterans nobody else wanted, like Shaq Griffin and Stephon Gilmore, who only signed like 2.5 weeks ago. So, yeah, I think Neighbors, as the focal point of the whole passing offense potentially for the Giants, is in a really nice spot to succeed.
Let's look at tonight's game. It's going to be heard right here on Sports Radio 670. The Score, we don't know what Derrick Henry has left at this point. We know he's in an offense that should be able to exploit whatever is left in the tank. And now here's Mahomes, maybe with actual receivers for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
And one of them is a rookie. So,
yeah, one is. Let's start with Derrick Henry. Now, you guys will remember, Dan Lawrence, that I have shoveled dirt on the career of Derrick Henry a couple of times over the past years. When he's gone through stretches where he doesn't look like himself, the old dominating back, and, you know, he's clearly at the very end of his meaningful career, I believe. But, man, what a great position he finds himself in Baltimore. Way, way better offensive line. You have a much more balanced offense with the running stylings that you get, the rushing and passing stylings that you get from Lamar Jackson. Interestingly, these teams met 2 games ago, AFC Championship game, and it was a low-scoring game. It was 17-10. The defensive rosters for these teams are almost exactly the same. So that part's almost unchanged. The Ravens only ran the ball 6 times in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City. They did not bring Derrick Henry in to run him 6 times in a game. They are going to give him plenty of volume here. Kansas City's run defense was good, not great. You have to start Derrick Henry, but I don't see a gigantic game coming here because Kansas City's run defense only gave up 6 running back touchdowns last year. So, you know, good game coming probably and a lot more running than we saw in the AFC Championship game.
If I can go back to panic for a second.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the fact that there's 2 games before the Sunday slate? If you're a fantasy player, you could theoretically be done or be living high. By Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you might, if you're already, and you can use that information to your advantage. If you're down heading into Sunday because of the Thursday and Friday game, well, then you can throw in more high-risk players, high-risk, high-reward players. And if you've got a lead, a sizable lead, you can go conservative and you can take the risk out of your lineup. So from that standpoint, I like it, but here's what I don't like. Friday nights is high school football, and high school football matters. I don't like the NFL just playing roughshod with its feeder system on high school players. You know, there's already enough disincentive to have kids participate in high school football because of the injuries and the concussions and other things. Man, can't we just have Friday nights be about high school football?
No.
No. The answer to that is no.
And the answer is no.
You cannot.
There's a lot of money out there, Charge. And Roger Goodell's trying to get it. He made a good point with McAfee where he's like, look, most of our games are on free television. We out here trying to make money, though. So I get it. I get it.
Oh, cry me a river. Oh,
they're so poor.
Our TV, where it's free television. Their broadcast deal is billions of dollars. Come on. That's absurd. I don't like it. And right. I especially don't want to see Saturday football either. We got college football then.
I know what I want to get back to panic for a second here. So from what you can tell, disparities between your rankings and roster percentages at this point, when you start looking at those deltas, who do you think, what names are most likely to cause panic, either they by the way that they have been drastically overdrafted or potentially not drafted?
All right, let's talk about the guy that I think most is the most intriguing fantasy player for this Sunday's games, this whole week one, the one player. And it's Bijan Robinson.
Why?
You know, last year, he was a bitter disappointment because he's a super talented rookie. We're all excited to see him. And then Arthur Smith just didn't use him very much. And the presumption is, because he was drafted in the middle of the first round, like pick six overall, that Bijan Robinson is now going to get a ton of the work and potentially be a workhorse, which he has to be. Last year, he finished as the 12th highest scoring running back. To be taken in the middle of the first round, we now need him to touch the ball like 18, 20 times a game through the air or on the ground. But new offensive coordinator Zach Robinson is saying specifically and repeatedly that Tyler Allgeier is going to be heavily involved in this offense, which is what we got last year. And sure, objectively, Bijan Robinson's way better than Tyler Allgeier. But sometimes that doesn't matter. Look, objectively, Aaron Jones was a billion times better than A.J. Dillon, but that didn't stop Green Bay from running a committee for years. And we know almost nothing about Zach Robinson because he came from the Sean McVay coaching tree, which cycles out anybody within any distance of Sean McVay. In one season, you're gone, right? So we don't really have a lot to go on with Zach Robinson. We don't know, is this Tyler Allgeier talk just talk? How will it end up working out? This is the guy that has, I think, just the ability to completely flip Bijan Robinson your entire season, whether or not you got it right when you drafted him in the first round. That was a long answer.
Is there anything interesting about your Vikings from a fantasy standpoint?
Yeah, I think so. They're going to be losing in a lot of games. They're going to pass a lot. The Sam Darnold storyline could end up turning fascinating if Kevin O'Connell can turn around his career. It'll be one of, you know, and just make him like a functional mid-level NFL quarterback. That'd be a huge success. And remember, Kevin O'Connell, former quarterback himself, former quarterback coach, the past 2 years, he is ranked third and third in passing play percentage. I mean, this is just what he does is throw the ball. He got semi-competent starts out of guys like Nick Mullins last year. And they've got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison's really good. So, you know, I think there's a little reason for optimism that things aren't going to be quite as bad, at least from a fantasy perspective for the Vikings offense. But I still think they run distance fourth here in the division.
So we know in the Stephen King book, Misery, that the author, the Stephen King stand-in, played by James Caan in the movie, when he is done with a manuscript, he and his number one fan, of course, knows to bring him one cigarette and a bottle of what she calls Dom Perignon, and that is his ceremony. So when you're off season, when your work of putting all this together, and when the season finally begins, I know your work isn't done, but do you have a traditional ceremony? Is there a specific bourbon that you may pour? Is there a way that you mark the first kickoff?
Well, I'm glad that you recall that I'm a bourbon aficionado. Tonight, I will be hoisting a glass of probably my favorite, just what they call dailies, you know, the one that you just, you know, you can afford to buy. It's not $200 a bottle. You can sip on it whenever you want, any evening you'd like. Old Forester 1920 is a great everyday $50 bottle that don't drink every day, but you know what I mean. And that'll probably be a little that I do one cube, just one cube. That's it. I don't want it to get watery, but I want to just get in, want to cool it a little bit. Release a little of the flavor. Yeah, that's going to be me tonight at, what are we, 7:30 kickoff? I think 7:30. That'll be the tradition.
7:20. So I don't want you to be late to your Old Forester 1920. So
no, absolutely.
That sounds delightful, Charge.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It's not bad. Are you guys bourbon fans?
Yes.
Dave wants that has turned me into a bourbon fan because that's his drink of choice.
You know, I developed a taste for it out of nowhere. I don't know what, I never really drank brown liquor and I never reacted well. It's something about my old age where I just, my palate changed and I've really learned to enjoy bourbon. I'm not spending a ton of money. You know, I can go have an Evan Williams with a couple ice cubes in it and be perfectly happy. But yeah, I do like it.
It's an adult drink, isn't it? I mean, I think a lot of young legal drinkers end up having bad whiskey or bad bourbon because that's what they can afford. And then they get turned off for it for like 20 years. And then, you know, later in life, you come back and you go, you know what? If I get some reasonably good stuff, I sip it. We're not chugging. We're just sipping. It's a very enjoyable drink. I love bourbon that way. And Lawrence, I want to know, are you all just like getting hammered with Dave Wanstead? That's what I want to know. What I've learned through this.
No, I mean, well, when he would do the afternoon show here, they would drink. Like during the segment.
During the segment.
But you know, Dave and I would do TV together. So you're not doing a lot of drinking, but he's turned me on to bourbon where he's like, you know, it's a good drink. I think you'll enjoy it. So you know, if you ever run into Dave Wanstead, offer to buy him a bourbon and he will sit down.
He will sit. That's all it takes. He's a cheap conversation. I see him at the airport. I can flag him down and go, Buffalo Trace, right now, over here. Let's go.
Exactly.
Oh, sure. Oh, come on. You're Charge, right? Yeah.
Then you guys can compare some notes. Charge, have a wonderful beginning to your football season tonight. Cheers to you, Mr. Charchian.
Thank you, my friends. And panic time on Sunday. We'll talk again on Thursday about what we learned from last week.
That is Paul Charchian. That was your NFL fantasy kickoff segment. We've got High Noon coming up next. I have a little community note for the fishermen out there. And I also briefly want to play Is This Irony?
Okay. I am going to share, since we have been talking about athletes who have figured out some Zen, I'm going to share a very thoughtful answer to a sliding door question of an athlete.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Thursday NFL kickoff day, high noon. What do we start talking about? Well, that Cubs exciting combined no-hitter last night. The unbridled joy that is Shota Imanaga. Just how cool he is, and the fun post-game explanation of who knew what and when about the unique thing in sports that is the combined no-hitter. There is truly nothing like it. We heard some very interesting stuff from Adrian Colbert's appearance yesterday on Score Afternoons with Matt Spiegel and Ruthie Polinsky. Dave McGinnis just gave us pure football talk about the Bears and the Titans and everything involved in Caleb Williams, and then we had Church.
It's high noon.
I spent a lot of time wondering if this, then this. I love running the scenarios of the Lawrence multiverse of what choices I've made and what would it have been like if I had made a different choice.
Good way to make yourself miserable.
Where are all the Lawrence variants? What are they doing right now? Is one of them a Navy JAG officer? Is, you know, like, what are they doing? Steph Curry was presented that on Hot Ones. And I thought that he had a really, really mature approach to the sliding door question that was asked of him.
Report, we'll never be a star in the league because of a lack of explosiveness. How do you think things would have been different if you would have ended up at Virginia Tech or Duke? Like, do you think you'd be where you are right now?
It's a great question, because I don't think so, because the brand of basketball that I play now was predicated on a system that Davis and College Bob McKillop mastered. And the only reason I think I'm successful at it is because I got to learn with reps. So having gone to Tech or Duke or whatever, maybe I'll like ride the bench my freshman year and I'll get that experience. I don't know if I'd be the same player. So it's kind of a message of go where the best, you know, fit is for you. As much as you might want to have the the pedigree or the resume to say, I played in the ACC, I played in a power conference. And that's all cool. But, you know, myself, you know, Damian Lillard, John Morant, guys who went to mid-major colleges, they'll find you wherever you're at. And so that's kind of the, I had faith at the time. I didn't know how it would plan out. But, yeah, I wouldn't change that experience for anything. So I'd rather play than just sit on the bench and say, I got a you know, power conference school on my chest.
I think that's a really mature view of it, and understanding like that part of the journey got him to where he is. Mm-hmm. Where now it's a whole bunch of championships.
That's why I don't like playing those games.
Yeah. It's a fun game, though. You don't wonder where the Dan variants are?
You don't want to know.
The Dan variant
they're all dead.
That went left Duke and then went to go right on SNL.
No. The Dan variant that
went to Harvard?
No, that lost the fight with his parents about taking the LSATs.
Well, yeah, but that variant can also exist.
Yeah, that variant
that
went to law school,
right,
and is wealthy and miserable.
Well, I mean, you're kind of still...
I'm kind of miserable?
Still wealthy and miserable.
No, I mean, like, actual wealthy. Like real money. Not this money. Like, real money. Like,
okay.
Like long-time partner at a major global firm money.
But maybe that Dan variant made the money, like, made all the money, and then just started fishing at 40.
That would have been a lot of work to get to that point, though. Maybe 50. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to think about it.
See?
That. What if he had some sort of a horrible...
Now he's in the Dan multiverse.
Yeah, but that Dan probably had some horrible wife that took half of it and awful children. So, yeah, no, I don't like...
See? Now I want to make the movie.
And hang on, he only wanted to go fishing to get away from his horrible wife or something like that. Yeah, no, this would be bad. I don't like this. I want to go home. Bring back the yoga and the singing bowls. So, real quick, is this irony? LL Flooring is bankrupt. LL Flooring...
LL Flooring is broke as hell.
LL Flooring is bankrupt. LL Flooring, the LL stands for Lumber Liquidators. Liquidating. Lumber Liquidators is liquidating. Literally liquidating. They're in negotiations to sell off their businesses over the next 12 weeks.
That's too bad.
Is this irony?
I think it actually does end up being irony.
A little bit, right? And it's not official. No U.S. bankruptcy is official until there's a picture of the Bernstein and Holmes show there. So that is now it's in bankruptcy court that has been codified into law through the Uniform Commercial Code that it says you cannot, whether it's Chapter 11, whether it's
Chapter 7,
whatever it is, it's not real.
Until our
smiling picture is on it.
So there you go, Lumber Liquidators. But if you're looking for a good LL, that LL Cool J album is coming out tomorrow, and that LL Cool J Eminem joint is fire.
One more item. Listen up if you are a Chicago area shoreline fisherman. They're checking licenses. First time ever. And I think it's because of the king salmon are coming in and the salmon guys are out there for the first time. I saw some of my old dudes there at the same spot. I'm like, well, it must be fall. Here we go. NFL season starting. The king salmon are coming in. There's steelhead coming in. And I saw some of the dudes out there. We were talking. And here comes Mr. Cop Coppington from the DNR. He is DNR enforcement. He is fully strapped. He had full uniform, tight Kevlar vest, gun. He had his little walkie-talkie clipped to his clavicle, and he
believed the police. And Dan said it with authority.
And he came over. He said, "May I see your license?" And I was like, "Really?" And I thought he was checking trout and salmon stamps, right? Because otherwise, he has $15 annual resident license, whatever. And the trout and salmon stamps. And I told him, "I'm not fishing for salmon." And he looked at my rod and reel. Was like, "Well, that's obvious."
So you're out here shaming you.
No, but I had light tackle. I was bass fishing.
He was out here shaming you.
But he's kind of like, oh, okay. So I say, you want my license? Here's my license. Like, well, you have a good day, sir. So I look at the other salmon fishermen who are vets, right? These are vets. And
it's like, what's with this guy?
Yeah, no. So guy pulls me up. He's like, yeah, new guy. I'm like, that doesn't usually happen, does it? He goes, no.
He's giving new guy vibes.
Because the other DNR enforcement guys who come through know these fishermen by name. Like, Scott, good. Steve, you good? Mike, we all good? Like, yeah. Okay, no issues. This is good. I need to see your license and registration and examine your reel and your tackle. It's like, come on, man. Chill out.
Yeah, just relax.
Chill out.
Sir. That's High Noon. We do it every day around this time. Don't go anywhere. Like, for real, for real. Like, we have to take a break, but we don't want you to go anywhere. And the reason why we don't want you to go anywhere is because Matt Bowen is getting ready to join us. You don't have to do all that for the people on Twitch, Dan. So now we know that one of the other Dan variants is a stripper.
Hey!
Oh, God!
And a damn good one.
That's right.
Rich.
We are
even richer than the lawyer.
We're going to talk football, and we're going to get into the weeds. And Matt Bowen is going to help us in that regard. He's amazing. You don't want to miss it. It's next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.